Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, as always, and today I am joined by Rachel from Boil and Broth, and we're going to be chatting about how bone broth, kefir water, and a natural diet can transform your whole family's health. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Kat. How are you doing?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm awesome. Thanks. Thanks so much for inviting me on the show today.
No, thanks so much for joining me. I've been looking forward to our chat for ages. I am so keen to learn about, you know, the history of you and Boil and Broth, because it's such a fantastic product that so many people and their pets benefit from, and it's just so exciting. So you actually don't have a dog though, do you?
No, I'm afraid not. I've got kids and chickens.
That's still good enough.
Yeah.
Kids are a lot like dogs, to be fair. I mean, I can say that because I have kids, so I can say that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know anyway, people really love their dogs so much, like their children. In fact, I hear often more than their children. So I adore my kids. So I do feel like I've still got a strong connection there, and I can obviously understand.
That's absolutely fine. But I mean, you obviously do recognize that people obviously care for their pets as much as their kids, which is why you do branch out into the pet world as well. So although you don't actually have a dog yourself, you do cater to the needs of all of our pets fantastically. So usually we start by I usually start by getting my guests to introduce themselves and their pets, but seeing as though you don't have a dog, why don't you just spend just a little bit of time telling us a little bit about you and how you began your natural journey?
Thanks, Kat. Yeah, well, it's not a traditional dog story, I'm afraid, where I do know that a lot of people get in the pet space because, you know, they've had a sick dog and they've wanted to make a difference, which is absolutely amazing. And I totally applaud that. I mean, my journey was a bit different because it was actually all about my own health problems and how I managed to, pretty much reverse my health condition. So I had my two children, Jack and Scarlett. My first pregnancy was pretty awful, I'll be honest with you. I went into early labor. I had a lot of problems throughout my pregnancy, had frequent urine infections. So I was taking a lot of antibiotics throughout the term. And then as a result, I was getting thrush as well. So that whole cycle. And I was massively craving sugar all the time. And I was just putting it down to being pregnant and eating loads of cake and like, oh yeah, I'm eating for two, it's okay. But my weight really ballooned. And everybody sort of said to me, oh, you'll lose loads of weight when you breastfeed. But for me, it was just nothing of the sort. I was frequently having infections and thrush problems and just couldn't seem to shift the weight. You know, I cut back on sugar, I changed my diet, and I couldn't seem to get to the bottom of it. And I spent a lot of time going to the doctors, you know, for treatment and trying to find out what was going on for me. And then I fell pregnant again with my second baby. And, you know, I was a bit terrified, I'll be honest with you, because I was, my health is really poor. You know, I wasn't in a really good physical state to have another baby. But fortunately for me, my second pregnancy was amazing. And actually, it was really wonderful. I really enjoyed being pregnant, but I still continue to have health problems. I had a lot of digestive health problems. I was intolerant to loads of different foods, like vegetables, certain meats. It was crazy. I've always been relatively fit and healthy. So I couldn't understand what was going on with me, I'll be honest with you. And I kept going to doctors for support. No support there. I mean, I just, you know, they were really, you know, they just didn't know how to help me. And that was the biggest problem. And their answer to me, which I know is very similar in the pet industry as well, was just more for treatment of symptoms, medication, you know, no information about diet or nutrition or anything like that. So I just was on a bit of a roundabout with it, and I was stuck on what I call the NHS roundabout for 3 years, just sort of going to them. They knew me by my first name. My husband Simon used to joke and say they've got a special seat for me up there with, you know, with my name on it and everything, because I was just literally spending so much time at the doctor's. But yeah, you know, I just got to a point, Kat, when I was after 3 years and I was still getting nowhere, and I was 15 stone. And you know, Scarlett, my second daughter, you know, second child, she was, you know, she was about 6 months old at this time. And I was still, you know, overweight, still having the digestive problems. My UTIs had stopped, but I was still getting chronic thrush, you know. And I just was thinking to myself, there's got to be something going on, you know, what is this, you know? And I remember looking at my mouth. So I opened up my mouth and I looked at my tongue and I saw that it was really white and furry. And I thought, do you know what? That's not normal. I've never seen my tongue like that. You know? And, and as soon as I saw that, I thought, do you know what? There's got to be something else going on here. It's got to be in my digestive system. And I, at this time, the doctors were trying to give me different treatments. And eventually my GP doctor, she said to me, oh, well, let's just get you on the mini pill, you know, to try and balance out your hormones. And I was like, no way. I'm not taking hormonal treatment to try and get rid of something that actually is not really addressing the cause. It's going to start messing around with my hormones. So I said, right, that's it. I just said to Simon, my husband, I'm not going to the doctors again. I'm going off on my own and I'm going to research this. So I did. I spent a whole ton of time researching, you know, about my symptoms, you know, about gut health, and, you know, what was going on. Why was I craving sugar all the time? What was the white furry tongue all about? And I discovered something called candida overgrowth, which is basically a yeast. Have you heard of this?
I heard of it? Jeez. I think most of the dog population has heard of it.
Just crazy, you know, and it's going undiagnosed.
Yeah, it's like a prolific
problem. Many dogs. It is, you know, and the more I looked into it, the more I was seeing it. Actually, it was leading to other health conditions as well, you know, so it really got me thinking. And
just for anyone that's listening who doesn't know what candida overgrowth is, feel free to explain. And then,
I'll pause and I'll come back, because it is important to explain what it is. So essentially, it's a yeast overgrowth in your body. So Candida albicans, as they're known, happily live in your digestive system. They happily live in your genital area, you know, on your skin, even in they like dark, moist places, because it's a yeast. Mm-hmm. It's a fungus, basically. It likes that sort of thing. And usually it will just live happily. But unfortunately, what can happen is a similar story of what happened to me. When you're taking a lot of antibiotics and you're also having a high carbohydrate diet or high sugar diet, and being pregnant as well doesn't help, you naturally alter the microbiome of your gut. And that is where the problem lies. So if you're not taking something like a probiotic, a high strength probiotic, whilst you're taking antibiotics, antibiotics don't have the intelligence to basically say, oh, that's a good bacteria and that's a bad bacteria. It just literally kills bacteria, and that's at the site of infection. But obviously there's some collateral damage along the way. And, you know, a lot of those good bacteria do get wiped out at the same time, and then this causes an imbalance in the gut. So, you know, if you've got not enough of the good guys, so to speak, then the bad bacteria and fungus will start to grow out of control. Now, as we know, that anything like fungus and a harmful bacteria and cancer, it feeds off of sugar. So if you're craving the sugar, it's because it's growing in your body and it's wanting to be fed, because it's intrusive. It basically wants to spread and it wants to survive. So I learned all of this stuff. And I decided, okay, well, if it's alive, because it is alive, it requires food to be able to survive. So let's not feed it. Let's basically starve it out, and then, you know, reintroduce foods into my diet. So that's essentially what I did. So I wrote my whole program about basically how to get rid of candida overgrowth. So I wrote a book about it, about what I did. And it was essentially going through a process of a candida cleanse and then a candida treatment, so to speak. So you literally strip back all the foods in your diet, especially sugar, and then you slowly start to reintroduce foods back into your diet over a period of 12 weeks. And part of that program was to have bone broth, because I had researched so much about, you know, what's good for the gut, what helps to heal it, what feeds it. And bone broth was one of those foods or food supplements that was recommended. So I couldn't find, you know, this is back in 2017, so there was fewer bone broth companies back then. And there was certainly no bone broth companies that were making bone broth with no vegetables. And because of my intolerance to vegetables, I felt that I could make something very pure and then mix it with things that I knew I would be able to tolerate and to my body would adjust to. So that's what I did. So I started making broth every day. Yeah. And I did. I drank it. I had it as a broth soup. Like I added vegetables that were good for my gut and I could tolerate. And and I had kefir water as well. I haven't even mentioned about that, but you know, obviously the gut microbiome is, or biome, we were talking about this a minute ago, weren't we? Is it a biome or a biome? but anyway, I'll go with biome. So your gut biome, you know, it can become imbalanced or dysbiosis, as they call it, which is basically, as I was explaining, the good and the bad guys are disrupted. So I felt that, you know, I'd had a lot of antibiotics, so therefore I'd had probably a lot of the good bacteria stripped away. So therefore I needed a high strength probiotic to get me back on track. I was looking around and online, and a lot of them, you know, they're supplements, you know, natural, they're filled with bulking agents and fillers and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, you know what, there has to be, you know, this is a natural thing. There has to be a natural source of probiotics out there. You know, so I was getting on the computer, there we go, and then off I go, fermented foods. And I discovered kefir water, or kefir water, again, whatever it's called. And I had to go with a water-based kefir or kefir because the milk kefir was no good for me because I was dairy intolerant as well. But actually, it was a really amazing drink. It, you know, the natural sugar, the sugars, you mix it with sugar and water and the kefir grains, and it basically breaks down the sugar and converts into CO2. So you have a natural sparkling drink that's abundant with probiotics, with abundant with bacteria. So I had that every day as having the broth soup. And amazing transformation. 12 weeks, I completely reversed my health condition. I had no more symptoms. I lost 2.5 stone in the first 12 weeks. Wow. And it was awesome. And then after 2 years, I actually lost 6 stone. And again, it was just from switching more to a natural, wholesome diet, introducing the broth and the kefir, and really looking at what I was putting into my body. And you know, as far as, you know, supplements was going, I was taking, you know, different supplements to help release toxins, because obviously your liver, you know, it, especially when you're going through something like the candida cleanse, you know, that's literally all dying off in your body and it needs to go out somewhere. And your liver is really important for filtering toxins. So milk thistle was really important for me. I was taking bentonite clay, which basically attaches onto the toxins in the body a lot easier and allows the liver to pass it out. So it was a real program that I designed myself, but I was so delighted to be out the other side, and then obviously to be able to tell my story so that I can help other people. And it was really interesting, Kat, because as I was sharing my story with other people, so many people were saying, oh, this is the same for me, I've had this issue, I've had that issue, I can't get any help from the doctors, the only answer is drugs. And then, you know, so I started to make the broth for people and friends and family, you know, started with nothing, had no money to do it. You know, one slow cooker, all that sort of stuff, you know, built it up. And it wasn't long before people were asking me about whether they could give it for their dogs. And I was like, well, absolutely. It would be amazing for dogs because, you know, understanding they have a similar digestive system to us and there's no vegetables in it. You know, it's really all about all the protein because all of the nutrition comes from the bones. It doesn't come from anything else. It doesn't come from any vegetables, even broth or any seasoning. It's all about the bones. And so it's like, yeah, absolutely. So people started to buy for their dogs. And then it wasn't long before I realized that actually a lot of our customer base were pet lovers and pet owners. And the stories I was hearing from these people about, you know, how, you know, it's so similar. It's like it was a mirror image of what was going on in the national health system as to what's going on in the veterinary space. You know, that there was just these, you know, absolutely the same issue. Dogs are sick. They go to the vet. They get the advice. Nothing there for them. They get the given treatment. Off they go. Nothing about nutrition. And they're still left with their poor dog that's unwell. And the distress it causes those people as well. It's heartbreaking. So I felt like I really wanted to do something about it, not just for humans, but for the family as a whole, you know, taking into consideration their pets too.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. And I think it is similar to the NHS roundabout, like you say, because I mean, a lot of the dogs that I deal with who come to me with gut problems, they have been prescribed so many rounds of antibiotics. And I mean, it just surprises me how common it is for vets to prescribe antibiotics when, you know, surely they must know how detrimental it is in the long term. I mean, nowadays they try and make it harder at the doctors for you to get antibiotics because now they're becoming resistant. Aren't they? You know, all the viruses are becoming resistant, and the bacteria is because the antibiotics have been used so much that, I mean, they're supposed to reduce the amount that people use them. But I mean, I think sometimes when you do get a problem, which is to do with a bacteria or a fungus or a yeast or whatever, there are other ways to deal with it without having to use antibiotics. But because people want instant results, that's why they kind of turn to that in the first place. But to be fair, 12 weeks is like hardly any time at all, and you achieve that much in 12 weeks. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, you can't believe it.
No, I couldn't. I remember looking at myself in the mirror and going, I think I've lost weight. And then I was thinking that my clothes were stretching. It was in my head because I didn't look at the scales. Before that, I was so obsessed with getting on the scales and looking at how much I weighed and then getting all depressed because I hadn't lost anything. That I was like, I'm not going to do that. I've got to see this as a long-term journey rather than a quick fix. I had to really take the approach that this is a life change, not just a quick fad diet, because you know, and I think that made it easier, Kat, to sort of accept it, that, you know, and look, the fact was that I did the transformation so quickly, but it was really unexpected to me, because I've been so unwell, and you know, and anyone knows, you know, when you're unwell for such a long time, it's really debilitating, you know. So many tears, you know, different things I tried at home, you know, I won't even go into some of the things I tried, you know, just out of pure frustration, you know, to get myself well again. And so I was really amazed. But, you know, it's been a massive journey with the broth company. I mean, we're in our sixth year. I did start the business back in 2017, but officially didn't set it up properly until 2018. But it's been a massive, massive journey. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do a broth manufacturing business. You know,
I can imagine.
I didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to make broth and make it into a massive business, because that was definitely not what I expected. And, you know, still we're not a massive business, but the point is, you know, it's just been a really, really tough journey.
It's such a positive journey though, because you do just keep going from strength to strength, which is absolutely amazing. And you should be rewarded for all your hard work, because look at how many people and their pets are benefiting from your broth now as well. And like you say, a lot of the broths that are now on the market, even that have sort of appeared since 2018 and before, were unsuitable for the pets because they had lots of vegetables in that are not safe for dogs. Or Candida loves the sugar in the veg, doesn't it? So that's why, you know, like whenever I'm trying to advise people on dealing with yeast for their dogs, it's like, stay away from the veg, especially the root veg, because It's starch, yeah. It's sugar. The yeast absolutely loves it. Whereas when you're looking for broth, because everybody, you know, like wants fancy broth, which has got all the added bits in, then it's hard to find one that you can give to your pets. But the fact that you can have yours and share it with your dog is just, you know, it's great. It's fabulous. So well done for creating such a wonderful product.
Oh, thanks, Arlen. Thank you. I mean, I think, you know, that was the thing with the broth company is that, you know, I never went into this to make money. It was, yeah. It was more about I had to get the message out there. You know, I was so moved by people's health stories and also the stories that they were experiencing with their dogs that I just, you know, I mean, I'd like to say I'm a good person, you know, I do have a good heart, and I felt really moved to wanting to make a difference in this space because, you know, it's been, you know, we were talking about this before the podcast, you know, the world in which we live in now is so different to how it was 100 years ago. You know, we are shoved in our faces, convenience, ultra processed foods, you know, people just automatically go to supermarkets to buy their food because it's, you know, convenient for them, and also because maybe they don't understand, you know, and big corporations and government and businesses have, you know, big businesses have a lot to answer for the health of the people and the health of their pets too.
Yeah,
because we have literally just been pumped full of crap from pharmaceuticals through to sugar. You know, I've gone down the rabbit hole, I'm sure you have too, you know, but you know, the industry of how sugar, you know, came around at a similar time as dentistry, a similar, you know, it's all been in the last 100 years that these things, you know, how pharmaceutical drugs, you know, were, you know, the Rockefeller family, you know, they were into petrochemicals and how they transformed the medicines, you know, by they got rid of all the natural medicines. Up until Rockefeller's, everything was natural medicine back then. You know, and if you find some of the books from a few hundred years ago, you know, you'll see some amazing recipes and ingredients that people were using, you know, to heal ailments, you know. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, antibiotics, we've spoken a bit about that, they do have a place, but, you know, there has been an overuse and overprescription of antibiotics. And the other thing, particularly in animals, you know, so we talk about humans, but you look at it on an animal scale and how they've used it within farming, how they've used it, you know, growth hormone, all those sorts of things, you know, and it's all been for profit, you know, and as a result,
it has.
We're all screwed.
That's basically it in a nutshell, because obviously these all these drugs and treatments have an impact on, well, basically they have an impact on the health of the animal that is being fed the stuff, the quality of the meat that comes from the animal. And I mean, even something just as, well, they do say that if you take a happy cow and a depressed cow, then the happy cow is going to taste better than the depressed cow. And it's just, it's literally, you know, it's like that. But because
it goes down to the cells.
And it stays in their tissues and it affects the quality of the food. But because people aren't having their own cows and they're not, you know, rearing their own meat, and they go to a supermarket where they see it in a packet, they don't connect. They don't see that connection. They don't make that connection. They're not aware that stuff like this actually is in that packet when they take it home to cook it. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's like the two things are separate, although they're really not.
100%. I mean, I think, you know, this is why, say, as a business, we're really passionate about supporting our British farming, because we truly believe that actually out of, you know, the farming industries, or the whole kilometre of the farming industry, you know, British farming actually has the best standards, you know, and I often have conversations with our trading standards officer about this, because, you know, he says, well, actually, most, you know, all the animals that are farmed are grass fed. You know, we're very lucky here. We have an abundance of fields, we have abundance of land, you know. So in that respect, that's really great. And actually, it's illegal over here to use things like growth hormones and you know, certain things for, you know, mass farming. But, you know, overseas, unfortunately, and this is where a lot of our food is now coming from, because what's happening in the UK with our farming is, you know, they've ripped off our farmers, you know, they're not making any profit. You know, there's so many businesses, so many farms that just aren't surviving, you know, and there's very few like real farmland left because everything's been sold out to bloody crops, you know. So now they're growing all the seed oils and, you know, and they're pumping it in our, in all the supermarket feeds. And it's a shame. But, you know, this is why, you know, it's so important for us as humans that we have an understanding of this. And also we start to consider what we're putting into our bodies and absolutely what we're putting into our dogs' bodies as well. You know, when I walk down the pet aisle in Tesco's, you know, in a major supermarket, you know, there's a lot of brands that are not natural, you know, and there's not really a great deal of natural choice for families that have dogs or cats.
I don't think there is any in the supermarket, if I'm being completely honest with you. And, you know, it's no secret that the pet food in the UK is made by the same company. It's manufactured in the same plant and then packaged into the different packaging. So is it the same? Are they all the same, just in different packaging? We'll never know because we're not on the inside. But the same manufacturing plant makes all the food and it all comes from the same place. And I'm pretty sure it's not bloody natural.
Shame they're not using proper ingredients, you know. And and I think you know we talk about ingredients labels because, you know, if people don't read what's going into it, you know, on that ingredients label, you know, then they don't know what they're putting into their dog's body at all, you know. And these poor little dogs, they're so hard, you know, vulnerable. They are totally reliant on that's why they're like children, because they're totally reliant on their parents, you know, to provide them with a nutritious diet and a lifestyle. And they can't, you can't do anything, you know, they can't do anything about it.
They don't have any choice. Yeah, and if they do, they get, you know, it's like, oh god, you've got a picky eater there, you know, how can I get him to eat his food? But it's like, you know, he doesn't like it, he doesn't want to eat it. And it's just like, you know, they don't like the food, which is why they don't want to eat it. Because I think a lot of dogs do, well, this is the thing, like dogs do tend to like kibble. That's because of all the fact that they spray on it when it's finished processing. You know, they spray like rancid fat from basically waste products on the kibbles to make them palatable to the dogs. And that's why people tend to think that the dogs like the kibble. But it's just, I know, and it's
wicked. Honestly, cat is wicked. There's no other word for it, you know.
No,
it's like, you know, and it's all for profit. That's the thing.
How can we make this product for the cheapest cost and sell it for, you know, because the prices of pet food have gone up as well, like everything else. So the profit that they must be making on that pet food is just, well, I mean, you look at the big companies and they make multi-billion dollars every year.
And they declare it their profits, you know, and it's like, that's just insane.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame. So that's why we need... Oh, go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, but you're probably about to go on to the same thing I was going to say, but this is why it's so important that the right information gets out there for people, you know, so that they can learn and educate themselves, you know, because if people can educate themselves and they can learn about this stuff, then, you know, they can be more empowered to be able to make proper decisions, you know. And we do live in an amazing time where information is readily available for people. And, you know, well done and congratulations for doing your podcast, because, you know, it is such a needed, you know, message to get out there to people who don't know about this stuff or are questioning things, you know. I think only until you have an experience, a bit like me, do you start to question things, you know. So before I had the kids, you know, I was quite casual. I mean, I've always been quite natural with what I've done. I've tried not to put things into my body unless I've absolutely had to do it, like things like antibiotics or whatever. But, you know, I think until you have an experience where you've been let down and you've, you know, you've had to suffer for a period of time, whether it's you personally or it's your own dog or your children or whatever, only then do you start to ask questions about what's actually going on, you know, in the space. And you know, the movement of people getting messages out there, getting information out there, there's some so many fantastic businesses, particularly in the pet space, you know, and in the human space as well, but you know, in the pet space, you know, there's pet shops who buy from us that are just fantastic, you know, that transitioning, you know, they're doing all that education in the shops, they're helping the customers that come in, you know, and then you've got amazing canine dietitians and nutritionists and, you know, even some vets, you know, like we sell in quite a few vets now, and they are getting right on it, they really are, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it's across the board, but you know, I think people are starting to ask questions, you know. And the vets are humans at the end of the day. It's a bit like the doctors. Even the doctors are starting to ask questions, you know, and quite rightly so. But unfortunately, a lot of these people, you know, are in a trap because they work and they're paid.
And by the big corporations.
They are. You know, some of the things I've heard, Kat, honestly, you know, about, you know, doctors getting paid off by pharmaceutical companies so that they would sell their products, same in the vet industry, you know, it's just like,
I think I know it's horrific, but it's very real, and one of the things with the vets is I genuinely, like, I have no disrespect to vets because they do a fantastic job. They're trained to, you know, they medically treat the dogs, all the pets, to keep them alive, they, you know, they give them treatment when they need it, surgeries, all that. It's fantastic. And I genuinely don't think it is them. I think it's, you know, they're bound by pressures and targets and things that have been passed down to them, which is out of their control, especially now. I think if you can find a nice private practice where they have control over what happens, then it will be a very different story. But if you go to somewhere that is owned by one of the big corporations, then it is very likely that they have certain targets that they have to meet, or they've got certain, you know, the way that they do the consultations, they have to kind of suggest things and promote things. And, you know, and it's just a shame because I do genuinely think that the vets probably have an internal struggle about the role that they play, because they will know, or they might have an idea, or they might have a feeling that maybe there is a different way that they can do it, but they're sort of like you say, they're caught in a trap because they've got to kind of meet these certain targets and they've got to be seen to be doing things a certain way because the guys upstairs said so. Otherwise, then they could be out of a job, which obviously is, in especially in this day and age, people are struggling even when there's like two full-time adults in the household, people are still struggling to pay their bills and basically eat and do anything outside the extraordinary. So losing a job is just not an option for them. So I do genuinely think that, you know, and they do say, you know, especially in America, so there is a study, but I can't remember who did the study, but I've heard it from one of the, it's either in one of the books I've read or from one of the holistic veterinarians that I follow, maybe Judy Morgan, something like that, because I know she's done a lot of work on vets and how there's a shortage of vets in the USA at the minute. And the vet, like, to be a veterinarian is the position or the job that has the highest suicide rate out of... a lot of the professions, which is, it just tells me that there is something massively wrong. I don't know if it's linked to, because it costs so much to run your own practice, because I think they say that you need on average like $1 million or £1 million to be able to build a practice and run it independently, which is why, well, if you think about it, like all the equipment that they'd need and, you know, the staff, you know, it's just going to cost a fortune. And a vet student that comes straight out of university isn't going to have that money. Then, you know, that's amazing. But
yeah, definitely. Guarantee. I mean, look, you know, just to reiterate, you know, this is not a witch hunt for vets or doctors at all.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I want to be able, you know, if anything, you know, I want to be able to support them, you know, and
yeah, definitely.
You know, we
yeah.
are, you know, especially with the broth, because it's such a, you know, great product, particularly our broth, because it's a dry broth. It can sit on the shelf. It's got a 2-year shelf life. You know, it doesn't have to go in the freezers or the fridges or anything like that. It's totally safe, you know, and you know, for them to be able to recommend it to their clients as well would be absolutely amazing, because you know, it does have so many health benefits in broth. And I do feel, you know, very sad actually for the people within the industry, because you know, they are literally just doing a job, and you know, they are so overrun with, you know, with appointments, and you know, very similar to a doctor, you know, they get a very short time to diagnose and treat, and then it's the next one in, you know, and many of them are just exhausted, I'm sure, you know, and it's, you know, and I think in the world of chaos where everything is so full on, you know, it can be very hard to keep grounded in those situations, and
definitely,
you know, especially financial pressure and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's like, I think it is very often that, you know, when you talk about raw feeders, because not a lot of vets aren't on board with raw food. And that's because they only get taught about one certain type of nutrition in vet school, and they don't get much training on nutrition in vet school, but they're basically just doing what they know. So you do get some people who will like say, oh my God, don't take your dog to the vet. Which, well, some people do say that in this space, believe me, and obviously it's the wrong thing to do. If a dog is suffering and you know it could be a medical issue, then take them to the vet, for God's sake, because the vet knows. But I think this is what kind of creates the divide, because people kind of target the vets, but it's not actually the vets, it's just a situation that they're in and the system that they work in. It's just broken. It's just broken. Yeah. And it's similar like with the people. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're only humans at the end of the day, you know, and but you know, there is also an element of, you know, how much can you accept as being not the truth? Do you know what I mean? Because like for me, you know, if I know something isn't true or if I know something is wrong, then I can't continue to do it because it's wrong. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think there has to be, and everyone's obviously got their threshold, haven't they? You know, and everyone's got their personal situation to take into consideration. But yeah, you know, I mean, look, we are in a great time, I think, of, you know, being able to make a change, you know, and to get more people into, you know, natural living, healthier lifestyle for their dogs, you know, for their families in general, you know, and it really does all go back to the health of the gut. Like I truly believe that. All of the research that I've done, even, you know, things like autoimmune diseases, you know, there's so many dogs now with different autoimmune diseases, you know, and if you look at the symptoms of these autoimmune diseases, there's so many that talk about digestive problems, you know, won't eat, you know, or, you know, the sloppy poos, or, you know, and those are like classic signs that there's something on in the gut. And I was actually out on the street yesterday just sort of interviewing people about gut health and about the gut health of their dogs and about, you know, bone broth for their dogs, and you know, just to get an understanding of whether people knew about it. And I was really surprised that actually not many people knew about bone broth and not many people knew about gut health at all, you know. And they didn't even know it about themselves, you know. And I was explaining, you know, they, you know, I was saying, oh, you know, bone broth in particular can really help with anti-inflammatory, you know, most diseases are caused from inflammation in the body, in the gut, you know, and because broth has got the collagen in it, it helps to reduce the inflammation, helps to repair damaged cells, you know, and I could almost see like little light bulbs going off and people like, oh yeah, you know, that's my dog's got that going on with him, maybe, you know. And you know, amazing, most of them said they were going to buy some broth, and you know, but obviously I can't go meet 68 million people, you know, in the UK like that, because, you know, but the point is that, you know, and there's a lot of dogs in the UK now, right?
Like, yeah.
10 million or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's 10 or 12. And then, and probably it's just going to keep growing as well, because, I mean, who doesn't love dogs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're so cute. And, you know, but they're great companions. And this was something else that we were speaking about, wasn't it, Kat? You know, because it must be so frustrating for people when they have a poorly pet or poorly dog, you know, or a cat, yeah, because people are really attached to the cats as well. And I must give a shout out to the cats, because I think often they get, you know, they don't get the airtime or whatever. But anyway, so, you know, the dogs, you know, that people rely on them so much, and there's so many mental health problems, you know, so many issues that people, you know, feeling lonely, you know, and they really rely on their companion, on their dog or their cat, you know, as comfort for them. And if they can't help them, if they're ill and they can't help them, the mental strain that has on that person well is huge.
Massive. It is. Yeah, it is.
And, and then they have a problem with their gut health.
Because then they're stressed, and that sends them out of whack, and then everybody's stressing, everybody's suffering. And I know, but that has to be, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. The most rewarding thing for me working with people and their dogs and their digestive problems and their food and getting them switched over onto fresh food diets, because my main aim is to get as many dogs onto fresh food as possible, whether that's cooked or raw is up to them. I just want to help them, you know, come over to this side. But the most rewarding thing for me is, well, it's two things, but they both happen at the same time. It is the transformation in the dogs when they start to recover from their problems. And it is the sheer gratitude from the owners, because you can really tell that it just means so much to them that you've helped, you know, that I've helped alleviate their dog's stress. And because I know, because I've got dogs and I am so namby-pamby with my dogs, like, it is unreal. Just ask anybody in the house, they will tell you that I am ridiculously happy with my dogs. But I know for a fact that when mine are distressed or when mine are suffering, I like the pain I feel for them, because I want their suffering to basically end. I want to be able to help them. I want them to feel better and happy. That it just really does resonate with me when I feel it from my clients as well. And that is, you know, it's the most rewarding thing, because I know that I've been a part of that and their journey, and that their dog is now going to be okay. And they're, you know, they're coming back around again. And it's just absolutely amazing. And I think that is what makes this whole kind of natural journey so special, because you know as well that because you've done it properly and you've taken the time and you've used natural foods and things like broth to kind of heal the gut, you know that it's going to last, and it's not just going to sort of like just be for a week or so and then it's going to come back. And
Just 100%. Yeah. I mean, and that's the amazing part about it. You know, again, it's the lifestyle change, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Knowing that actually these things are making a difference. I mean, for my own personal journey, you know, I've been fine, you know, ever since I did my program and I turned my health around. I've had no issues. You know, I do have the broth regularly. I do have the kefir regularly. You know, I have my natural diet regularly. Yeah, I have treats, you know, every now and then, but a majority, 80% of my diet is wholesome. And And I totally agree with you, Kat. You know, there is nothing more rewarding than, you know, getting an email. Like, obviously, a lot of our business is online. So, you know, a lot of people email in and say, oh, we just want to thank you so much, you know, for helping our dog. I've had photos of dogs, you know, cute little dogs, you know, out and about, you know, before and after pictures. You know, it's just amazing. And some of the things that, you know, people have shared with us, you know, I'll never forget, there was this one dog. It sadly did pass away in the end, but he had pancreatic isis and he had a really low blood count, platelet count. And anyway, the owner was, this was going back a few years, was in contact with me, using the broth and everything. And I remember she sent me an email one day and she said, oh, you know what, you'll never believe it. We took the dog to the vet and his blood platelet count is normal. Which said the dog, the vet was bowled over. I'd never seen anything like it before. You know, and yeah, and it's amazing to hear those stories. And you know,
another yeah.
one, ear infections, you know, how the kefirs help clear up ear infections, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it just, again, it just all shows it's the gut, you know, everything,
it
you know, that is the master of the body, you know, it's the core of our body, you know, it's the foundation of everything, you know, everything goes back to what we eat, what we put in our bodies, what we put on our bodies, you know, our lifestyle, mm-hmm. environment choices, you know. And it's really interesting with dogs, because often they'll go for foods or they'll go for things outside that they're lacking in their diet, won't they?
Yeah, and they'll try and search it out. They will. And it is really interesting, because obviously now we know that at least 70% of the immune system is housed in the gut, which basically helps protect us against disease. Our gut houses the microbiome, which now we know that we are just slaves to, and they are basically well, we are, aren't we? It's them that we're basically supporting them, they're not supporting us. They are the masters of the show, and we just basically do what they say. But it is so true in that sense, isn't it? Like you say, with the yeast, when the yeast is in control, it tells us we want sugar. So the yeast is saying to our brain, we need sugar. So we're then going out to find sugar like some little robot. But that's how it is. Whereas when the good guys are in control, it's sort of like, well, we think we've got our own brain back, but who knows? I'm sure there'll be studies in the next few years kind of going down that rabbit hole. Then that'll be another cause for discussion. But it's just so fascinating.
It is. And did you know, Kat, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone listening. But I'm pretty sure everybody has their own unique biome.
Yeah.
So it's like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
So no, can't have. So we all have the, so in you know, in humans, for example, we have over 1,000 different strains of bacteria and fungi living in our microbiome. Dogs will only have about 300 to 500 different strains in their microbiome. But so we've all got the same strains, but the count of those strains, or the layout, the setup of however we want to call it, is totally different. We're all totally different in that sense. So isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating because it's one of those things, a bit like fingerprints and a bit like faces, because although you can get twins and you can get people who really look like other people, no two faces are the same, no fingerprints are the same, and you just can't figure out how it is actually physically possible when there has been so many people before and so many people alive now. It's just one of those things where it's just absolute, like, perfect. How in such a small space, like your fingerprint, how can they have that many different patterns? It's just, I don't know. It's science. Science just blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's amazing. I actually call it God, but.
Well, yeah, it is. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Oh, okay. So.
No, it's amazing. It's really, really cool. And it's amazing to be able to come on and talk to another like-minded person as well. You know,
it's great.
You know, I think it's, you know, it is an important message to get out there. Definitely.
It is, definitely. And you know, I don't think I have ever done a program yet for a dog which hasn't had gut in it. Like, there is, the gut is always something. Yeah, because even if, I mean, there's lots of reasons why people come to me for help, but one of the main reasons is like a candida overgrowth, or it's food intolerances and things like that, which could be down to allergies or pretty much leaky gut, which obviously it's all the same thing basically, isn't it? It's all, you need to look at the gut, because a lot of the time I find that dogs come with, you know, can't eat this, but it's because they've got that leaky gut, why they can't eat it. So after a few weeks of doing like a gut healing program and dealing with the toxins and, you know, supporting the body with herbs and whole foods, then you actually try these foods again and the dog can eat them with no reactions. So it's amazing, isn't it? It's always something that I think we should take into consideration. And I will admit, ever since I kind of fell down the rabbit hole with the dogs, that's when I started looking at my diet and everything to do with my gut. And so they kind of like inspired me to change everything about like the way we live. I mean, I've always been interested in the natural ways, a bit like you, and done things naturally, but I think, you know, when you actually kind of, you do the research and you learn about it and then you try it and you see and feel the benefits for yourself, then the change in lifestyle, it's not seen so much as like a chore, because I think some people think, oh God, I have to change my whole life and start cooking and da da da, and it seems like a big task for a lot of people. But I think when you actually do firsthand experience the benefits, then you actually want to put time aside to do those things. Yeah, because and it becomes enjoyable. Yeah. Because one of the things that I've learned is we stopped eating gluten. It must be a fair few months ago now. We don't eat gluten. If we do, it's because I've made something with it, and I always use organic flour. It's usually a loaf of bread or a cake, because we love bread and cake. We have it sometimes. We have it once a week, sometimes we have it like once every 2 weeks, because obviously life's too short, so you should have some of the things, you know, that you enjoy. But we haven't bought any.
I always say it's 80-20 rule anyway, Kat.
As long as 80%
of the time you're doing good things for yourself, then you can be a bit cheaty on the 20%.
You can, can't you? Yeah. And it's like, we haven't bought shop-bought bread, or I haven't bought processed, like, ready-made cakes or anything for, like, months. But even when, like, when we have the gluten day, because we call it the gluten day, because it's like, you know, we get really excited about having the gluten day. We have a nice baked loaf of bread and the cake, and it's, you know. But, like, the day after, I feel so awful. Like, I've got low mood, I'm agitated, I've got gut ache. And even though I'm baking with fully organic ingredients, like the eggs are like free range from a local farm, and then I usually like to do a lemon drizzle, but everything, you know, it's unrefined sugars, it's organic lemon, you know, it's just basically I try and get the best possible ingredients, because if we're going to have a treat, we're going to have a nice organic, clean as possible treat. But it still makes me feel deathly. And then and that's why I'm glad I don't eat it all the time, because I think until you actually stop, like, doing the thing that makes you feel bad, you don't realize it makes you feel bad until you stop it, and then you try it again.
I totally relate to that 100%. I mean, and I think when you clean up your diet and then you do step out of that zone, you know, then yes, you can, you know, really notice the difference that is changing in your body, you know. I was gonna say something, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it kind of been important. But I mean, I think that if we can be, you know, just have a bit more of a relaxed look at food, you know. So I don't, because I think people obsess about food. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Like, actually, we don't eat very much in the house. So, like, I will generally just have two meals a day. And I find that that is enough for me now. I mean, obviously, when I was younger and I was a bit more active, you know, I'd need to have, you know, I'd actually sometimes I'd have six meals a day, because I got into a routine of just eating little and often to basically keep the metabolism going. But now I'm sort of a bit older, I'm 44. I don't feel like I need to have as much food as perhaps what I did when I was younger. So I think, you know, as long as we don't obsess about food, because people do have a really bad relationship with food. And, you know, especially when if they're overweight and they're trying, or they're unwell, you know, they may go on crazy fad diets, you know, and they drop off, it doesn't work, you know, and then they binge eat, or they might starve themselves, you know. So yeah, it's a sad space that, you know, but I think encouraging, you know, natural living, seeing it as a life change, you know, just, and the other thing is that changing diet, whether it's for yourself or for your dog, you know, it's not always great to change everything in one go, because it can be too much. It is. And, you know, this is also a problem with dogs as well, because if you change their diet too much, they're actually not going to eat at all, because they're not used to eating what you're putting in front of them. So, again, it's about the introduction of new foods gently and slowly starting to remove some of the foods that, you know, are harmful for your digestive system. Yeah, like absolutely gluten, you know, and dairy as well. A lot of people have a lot of dairy, but really, unless you're having raw dairy, you know, it's not good for the gut. It really isn't.
No, I know. That's a whole other rabbit hole, isn't it?
I know, crikey cat, honestly. We could be here till midnight talking about it.
I know. It's mad. This is sheer madness. Okay, so what would you say has been the best part of your journey?
Just the customers. I love the customers. I really do, because I'm so grateful. Without them, we wouldn't have a business, you know, and just to hear them, you know, they're loyal, they come back, they email in, you know, and I ask them for feedback, they give me feedback, you know, they're just really amazing. And, you know, and I probably I'm just so grateful to them. And also because they do keep me going as well, because it is hard, you know, we spoke about running business and everything, and it isn't easy. It isn't, you know, it's lots of challenges from the top, you know, taxes, government changes, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, you have to be on top of all of that. And you know, sometimes you can feel like you want to give up. I will be honest with you. I think everybody really does do that. But you know, when you get the email that comes in from your customer, it's like, oh, you've transformed my dog's life, I'm so grateful, you know, thank you so much. A bit like what you were saying earlier, and you know, saying again, if it's a human that you've helped with their health, you know I had an amazing lady, she had a really nasty motorbike accident, she broke multiple bones in her body, and she discovered our broth. And she started to buy the broth, and she emailed me after 9 months of recovery, and she said, I've been having your broth every day for 9 months, and she said, and I'm so much better. And she said, I put it down to the fact that I was drinking your broth because of all the amazing into it. So you know, you get stuff like that definitely makes it good.
Yeah. Oh, that is amazing, Rachel. I mean, that is the best part, isn't it? Knowing how you can make a positive impact on people's lives. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you say has been the worst or the hardest thing to overcome throughout your journey?
Well, not a lot of people know this, but I was involved in a severe accident at work. When we first moved out, because I moved my family multiple times in houses, and then it got to the point where I couldn't cook anymore in the house, the final house that we're in, or the house that we're in now, because we just couldn't get the power into the place. So I had to get a commercial unit. So I moved into a commercial unit, and I bought some new equipment. I bought some refurbed equipment, and I bought a massive refurbed 100-litre pressure cooker, and it was faulty. And it blew up.
No way.
Yeah, it put me in hospital for 3 days. I couldn't walk for 3 weeks. I was in a wheelchair. And my recovery was about 8 months. But I did it behind the scenes. I mean, no one really knew. I kept turning up for work. I kept doing it. Although I didn't obviously work full time for a while. But, you know, I did. And that was really hard for me to overcome. Really hard for me. I felt very much like, you know, I didn't want to do it anymore. But then the customers email it. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll keep going, you know. And obviously, you know, I do want to serve people. I do want to serve people's health and make them better and stuff. So I did keep going, but that has to be the hardest thing I've been through with the business.
Oh, do you know what? I've got a pressure cooker, and it's only one of them that you put on the hob, and I'm just haven't used it yet because I don't understand them. Like, I've never used one before, and I have to say it puts me off. Like, but I just think, wow, you are lucky, aren't you? Because that is just not something you want blowing up at all, especially not 100 liters.
I had to have a skin graft on my arm. That was where people probably saw me with my cast and stuff on my arm for a long time. So yeah, I had to have a graft, had second and third degree burns on my body.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really horrific, and I got the scars to prove it as well. So but actually I will say I had a lot of broth as well, as well as morphine. But the broth was I didn't mix it together, by the way, that would have been awful. But you know, obviously the broth has got collagen in it, it's really great for skin repair and cell repair. So I did have a lot of collagen. And I did have a lot of vitamin C because, again, that's really good for skin repair as well.
Definitely. Oh, well, it's good, you know, and now you're back to 100%. So that's amazing. So yeah, oh bless you. Okay, yeah. So I think we're just about coming towards the end of the chat, but the last thing I always like to do is, if you have anything to say, I'm going to open this to people in general as well as their pets. I usually say to pet parents, but for anyone who is kind of struggling with the concept of going natural, or you know, they're just they're trying to get their head around natural ways and things and start their natural journey, if you had like one bit of advice or support, what would it be to those people?
Oh, that's such a great question. Well, it would be, you know, just to have faith and believe that, you know, you can do this and you can get better, or your dog can get better, and just not to give up, and just to stay positive and do the research, you know, research gut health for yourself, research gut health for your dog, you know, look at the powerful, you know, the power within having a healthy gut and how it can make you feel, you know, get onto the broth 100%. I mean, you know, broth is amazing, and also take the kefir as well because of the probiotics. But obviously that's the, you know, talking about products, but in terms of themselves, yeah, just, you know, don't see it as like a fad diet. It's got to be a lifestyle change, and it's a journey.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Out of, you know, every time I interview a guest, I always ask this question at the end, and no two people give the same answer. And I think that is the first time we've had something that basically says just believe and don't give up, which I think is absolutely so important whenever you're trying something new and whenever you're kind of hoping for results. Is your mindset is one of the biggest game changers for everything that you do. And if you can, if you can get on top of that and be positive and stay positive and kind of look to the future, then you're already halfway there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, and obviously people are struggling at the moment, but don't struggle on their own, you know. And yeah, you know, people can email in to us if they need any support. You know, I've got a lovely team. You know, we can reply to them. You know, I've even got on the phone with people, and I've spoken to people about how, you know, just basic things that they can do in their life. But, you know, obviously the internet is an amazing tool, but obviously don't be a Google doctor either. Or a Google vet. You know, use common sense, you know, and just the bigger picture with everything, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Thanks so much, Rachel. Well, if anybody does want to reach out to contact you or to, you know, look at the broth, where can they find you?
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for the blog. So boilandbroth.com is our main website. We've got all our products on there. Just really starting to engage more, to give more education. We've got some more videos coming up. I'm actually thinking of doing a podcast myself. And just to interview some, really great people. Kat, hope you'll come on and talk to me as well.
Definitely.
But obviously we're all on social media as well. So Boil and Broth on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube. And then obviously, if you're wanting the British Broth Company, which is Broth for Humans, it's exactly the same as Boil and Broth, but we just separated it. And that's at britishbrothcompany.com, in the same handles for the British Broth, at British Broth.
Okay, so Boil and Broth is for pets and British Broth Company is for people.
It is, yeah. But it is the same product, but obviously for purpose of food licenses and animal licenses, we have. You know, we just sort of decided to keep the two quite separate now.
It makes perfect sense. This is the business. This is business, isn't it? This is the nitty gritty and the intricate stuff that, you know, you started off just making broth in your kitchen, probably in a slow cooker, and now you're kind of dealing with DEFRA or I don't know, whoever. It's just like, I just wanted to make broth in my kitchen.
You've hit the nail on the head, Kat.
I know. I feel you. It's just, it's business. It's just a side that kind of, it just puts a little bit of a dampener on things at times, doesn't it? But the passion is there. So, yeah. Oh, well, that's lovely. Well, thank you ever so much for joining me. I've really enjoyed chatting with you and getting to know you a bit better. And did you say, are you going to the expo? Is it the expo you're going to?
We're doing Dogstival. I don't know if you know Dogstival.
Yeah.
But no, we're not we're not able to make the naturopath expo this year, but maybe next year.
Okay, but you'll be at Dogsterville. So if anyone is going to Dogsterville, then make sure you go and say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really big event. I'm waiting to hear back. Hopefully we're going to have a little stall there.
Yeah.
If not, I'll be waiting.
Well, yeah. I'm sure you'll meet lots of lovely people and their dogs because it does get packed down there for that.
Yeah, it's a big event. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, okie dokie. Well, thank you ever so much again for popping on, and don't be a stranger.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. It's been great to chat to you. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who's listening as well.
Yeah, okie dokie. We'll catch up with you soon, Rachel.
All right. Cheers for now. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.